Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hello, everyone. I'm Harvey Brownstone, and today's guest is an award-winning journalist, producer, and filmmaker whose documentary films have won him worldwide acclaim. His 2013 film entitled Reemerging, The Jews of Nigeria, got rave reviews at some of the world's most prestigious film festivals and was proclaimed by critics as one of the must-see documentaries of the year. In 2015, he released his celebrated film entitled The Amazing Nina Simone, which had a hugely successful theatrical run in 10 countries and is widely considered to be the definitive cinematic tribute to this legendary music artist. And now, our guest is about to release a monumentally important film about the first and the greatest female trailblazer in the history of American politics, the unstoppable force of nature known as Bella Abzug. In 1970, when America and the world was a patriarchy ruled by men, Bella Abzug challenged the status quo, running a groundbreaking grassroots campaign from the streets of Manhattan that elevated her all the way to the halls of Congress from 1971 to 1977. With her irrepressible energy, fearless Bronx swagger, and captivatingly blunt oratorical frankness, she was determined to break up the old boys' club, and that she did. She battled for women's rights, seniors' rights, children's rights, gay rights, racial equality. In fact, she fought for civil rights for everyone. She fought vigorously against the Vietnam War. She endured the mounting forces from both the right and the left, and the powers of the Nixon administration, the CIA, FBI, and of course, the media. The film is entitled Bella, This Woman's Place is in the House, and it won the prestigious Library of Congress Ken Burns Prize for Film. Here's the trailer.
Do you know me? Let's make this political power structure ours. And it's because of the killing of the spirit and the meaning and the belief of American democracy that I do impeach the President of the United States.
When Bella first ran, it was considered such a unicorn event. There just weren't that many women running. She was blunt, she was candid, she was poking the beast.
Would you support Nixon's body war?
Walking in the street with Bella, people would be yelling, give him hell, Bella. If a doorman or a taxi driver said something she disagreed with, she would argue with him, because she really cared.
I wanted her to get elected because we desperately needed her voice. So I went out with her on this truck.
That people have to live. People have a fundamental right to eat.
When she got to Washington, it was an explosion.
Are you suggesting to me that all of your files of the CIA are presently in the possession of the FBI?
I will refuse to have you say we are arbitrarily acting in this regard, Madam Chairman.
Also, for a lot of us women, most of our lives we were told to shut up and sit down. And it was very encouraging to be with a woman who was saying to us, speak up.
In another groundbreaking effort, she introduced the first national gay and lesbian rights bill. Bella was way ahead of the curve, and the rest of the world had to catch up.
I'm raring to go!
What's happening here? Are they, whoever they are they trying to do something to you?
Mrs. Abzug said her CIA file dated back to 1953 and included reports on her anti-war activities and Vietnamese contacts.
I'm here in the New York delegation with Bella Abzug in her famous hat. Do you ever take that off?
What a question.
I was bold because of Bella. Bella and those other congresswomen, they spoke up, they spoke out, they organized, they challenged, and I felt capable to do that and a responsibility to do it.
There is not even one woman among the 100 U.S. senators.
She did like to be first, but I was afraid she would lose everything.
I don't remember Bella ever sharing doubts or concerns about anything. She would just say, you gotta get in there and fight.
She knew that she wasn't there just for Bella and her generation, that she was there to make sure that the doors were open for what came next.
This fascinating and compelling film includes never-before-seen home movies, audio diaries, newly discovered news footage, and interviews with Hillary Clinton, Barbara Streisand, Shirley MacLaine, Lily Tomlin, Gloria Steinem, Marlo Thomas, and many more. There can be no question that Bella Abzug paved the way for future generations of female leadership, not only in politics, but in every field. And thanks to our guest, the whole world is finally going to know this amazing woman once and for all. I'm delighted to welcome the movie's writer, director, and producer, Jeff Lieberman, to our show. Jeff, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my goodness, thank you for having me, and thank you for that amazing introduction.
Well, it was my pleasure. I must tell you, I absolutely loved the movie. What inspired you to make this film?
Well, first of all, I was inspired because there never really had been a film on Bella Abzug. She's not known to a lot of people, and that really kind of shocked me and disturbed me. And I really wanted people to know this inspiring history because I think we need it very much so at this time in our democracy. Young women need to hear of this role model so they too can find their place in the House, or wherever they see a path for leadership for themselves. And, you know, as both a Jewish person and a gay person, I was like shocked that both of those two communities don't know this hero and celebrate her more. She's a Jewish icon, and she's somebody who the gay community need to recognize for her amazing, bold pushing forward of legislation before gay rights was even really talked about. So there's so many reasons why I thought this film should be made.
Well, given the importance of Bella Abzug, especially in the women's movement, the history of the movement, why do you think so many young people, especially young women, don't even know who she was?
I think it's partly because Bella was strategic. She knew that there were certain figures to push forward to the front who would be the face of the movement, be the voice of the movement. And there would be certain figures who would sort of pull the levers from behind. Everybody knows Gloria Steinem. She's an amazing force in her own right. And she worked closely with Bella and with Shirley Chisholm and Betty Friedan. And, you know, I think reluctantly, she sort of was pushed to the front. Reluctantly on her part, she told me she was shy and she didn't really necessarily want to be the spokesperson. But I think the group of women saw that they would get the press attention that they needed. And it was a very sexist press at that time, still is in many ways. And I think Bella knew that she was not going to get the attention the way Gloria would. And it was strategic, it was smart, and It did definitely help push the movement forward. And Bella was in front of the cameras, you know, in her own right many times too. But I think we associate, everybody knows Gloria, and that's potentially the reason why. And it's more now, 50 years later, that we're seeing all the central forces, including, as I mentioned, Betty Friedan and Shirley Chisholm and these other women who really came forward and helped organize this movement.
If you're a coffee lover like me, it's always fun to discover a great new blend. I recently found a terrific new company, Breakfast at Dominique's, that's created a series of coffee blends to honor the legacies of the greatest Hollywood legends. And I'm thrilled to tell you that now, Breakfast at Dominique's has introduced the Harvey Brownstone Talk Show Blend. It's my very own exclusive, delicious, bold, rich, balanced, medium roast coffee, and I just know you're going to love it. It's made from high-quality organic beans produced using fair trade practices. If you'd like a great cup of coffee, give Breakfast at Dominique's a try and order the Harvey Brownstone Talk Show Blend at hollywoodblends.com. They'll ship it right to your door anywhere in the world. Sipping our coffee is the perfect way to watch our show. Well, for me, the thing that makes this movie so special, Jeff, is that it's not just a history lesson about American politics or a biography about a trailblazer. For me, the movie is a masterclass in how to be a politician who actually makes a positive difference in the world. That's what I think you've accomplished in this movie.
Oh, thank you. I mean, when I was making this movie, I was like, I think I should run for office myself. You know, and I was like, I think that's what I want people to feel when they're watching this film. Like, if Bella Abzug could do it in 1970, you know, against all the forces that existed against her at that moment in New York City, of all places, you too can run for office. You only need X, I don't know the exact number, but it's, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 votes to get you elected into one of the highest offices in this country. And it's available for anyone, no matter what your race, gender, culture, background, economic status. And I wanted that to be sort of like a primer as well.
Well, now, Jeff, when most people think of Bella Abzug, as you pointed out, we think of her work on behalf of women's rights. But one of the things that really made me happy about the film was that Bella is finally getting some well-deserved recognition for her advocacy on behalf of the gay community. Thank you for doing that, Jeff.
Of course, it was important to do.
Bella was the mother that many gay men of my generation needed because our own mothers had rejected us. I'm so glad you pointed that out in the movie. And again, I thank you for doing that on behalf of all of us disenfranchised young gay men back in the 70s. I remember those days very clearly.
You know, when I read that Bella had shown up at a meeting of the Gay Activist Alliance, I didn't have room for this in the film because there's just so many stories to tell. And I do cover her connection to the gay movement. But there was this story that people would tell that she showed up at this Gay Activist Alliance meeting in a church in 1970 when gay people felt pretty much alone in their fight for equality. And she showed up and, you know, said she's not gay, but she's here to represent, advocate, you know, be an ally. That was pretty shocking at that time. There were not a lot of people who didn't have like a direct son or daughter. And even that was a bit of a stretch at the time to become forward and say, I'm going to stand up with you on this issue. I mean, gay rights were barely discussed. It was like, there was a lot of misconceptions. And she saw this community of people in the West Village as her constituents. She needed to get their vote. And she needed to represent them. And it was authentic. She wanted to fight on their behalf. And it's really touching when Alan Roscoff, who's one of the gay activists in the film, says, you know, she was the mother that we all wished we had. It's just like breaks my heart every time I hear that.
Mine too. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, you got a lot of very famous people to appear in the movie, like Barbara Streisand, Shirley MacLaine, Nancy Pelosi, Lily Tomlin, so many others. Was it difficult to get them to participate in the film?
Difficult, yes, just in the sense of like it's difficult to get any person of status to appear in a film, but not difficult in the sense that I think they just really wanted to honor Bella. And that was my sense, is that this was not about me or my accomplishments or my film or anything other than they knew and agreed that Bella's story was long overdue, that it should be told, that it should have been told more when she was alive. And they looked up to her and supported her in her campaigns. There were very few women to rally around at that time. And so they put their careers and their time on the line back in the 70s and campaigned for her and showed up for her and get those phone calls from Bella, like, you know, show up tomorrow, don't ask any questions. And I think they just generally wanted to, like, pay her due at this time.
It was very clear that Barbra Streisand had a lot of affection and warmth towards Bella. But I have to tell you, there were moments in Shirley MacLaine's presentation where I kind of thought she had a little animosity or even a bit of sour grapes. Did you feel that at all?
I think Shirley is real. I think she's authentic. I think she loved Bella very much. They were very close friends. They spent a lot of time together. Shirley told a lot of great stories about Bella coming to visit her at the beach and spending time together and just reading and hanging out and talking and going to events together. And that Bella really found Shirley's LA home like sort of a nice retreat from the rough world of New York politics. If you got that sense, it's only because, you know, Shirley cared for Bella so much that she worried about her in a sense. And, you know, you might be referring to Bella's decision to run for the Senate and give up her congressional seat, which was a big risk. And people like Shirley and Marlo Thomas were kind of opposed to it. They knew that Bella could keep that congressional seat her whole life, potentially. And running for the Senate and having to face off of all of New York, which is, you know, the politics change very quickly when you get out of the city, was a big gamble. And Bella was a gambler. She literally was a poker player. And she saw her goal as, you know, escalating, as growing, as something to do next. And the Senate was entirely male at that time. It had women in it before, but at that moment, it was entirely male. And she was saying, Bella was basically saying, I'm going to run for this seat from New York, be the first woman, and break up that boys club. And, you know, I think Shirley was worried that was a goal that was just not going to happen.
Well, she turned out to be right. Was there anyone you wanted in the movie who turned you down?
There were many people who were no longer alive who I wish that I could have spoken to. That's for sure. There, you know, I was, as I was making this film, I was like, it's almost, I wish I had made it or thought of it or been alive, you know, 10 years earlier to have made it when some of her campaign people were alive and the marketing, there was a guy who came up with her original poster and original slogan, this woman's place is in the House of Representatives. I would have loved to have talked to that person. Yeah, and there were, you know, obviously I would have loved to talk to Martin Abzug. I mean, her husband was so supportive and a real feminist himself, like putting his sort of ego and probably his career as well a little bit on the line to support Bella. So yeah, there were certainly people, and obviously Bella herself, like, you know, as you mentioned, I made a film about Nina Simone, and she wasn't alive when I made that film either. And it's really difficult as someone who wants to tell the absolute truth to make a film when the subject matter is not alive. And you've got a lot of information, but you want to sort of double check things and know if these things are absolutely 100% correct. So yeah, I would say having Bella in the film would have been a whole different journey.
But was there anyone who is alive that you wanted who turned you down?
Nobody comes to mind. I mean, there were a lot of people who just said, I can't remember. Like, that was 50 years ago. And yes, I was there. You know, Candace Bergen was sweet enough to respond to me and say, I know I campaigned for Bella, but I can't remember yesterday. So, you know, there's people like that who are like, honest and kind enough to like say, yes, I support you, but I don't have anything to offer. And that's fair. Like, it's, I don't question that kind of response because I don't remember things that happened to me 10 years ago, let alone 50 years ago.
Just wait till you get to be my age. When you were doing your research for the film, Jeff, were there things about Bella Abzug that surprised you?
Yes. there definitely was, that there were many surprises along the way. I mean, I knew she was witty. I knew she was brilliant and charming. I didn't realize how funny she was. You know, I listened to hours and hours and hours of cassette tapes of her recording different things, oral history or her own memories or notes she was making to herself or to other people. And she was very funny. She was, you know, smart with the words and told a great story and, you know, very, very warm and caring. And, you know, I wanted to make a very subjective film as well as a journalist. And I didn't want it to just be like a love pylon for Bella Abzug. I wanted to really question whether her style was effective. She had a very strong, biting at times, aggressiveness to her speech. And, you know, it surprised me at times how far she would take that, if that's part of the question. And, you know, I think some of it was effective and some of it wasn't. And there may be more of a neutral ground that might have been more effective for her. It's impossible to say. But yeah, the ability to be so warm to people and so funny and charming, and then the ability to really be like, almost scolding is fascinating to me. It's real, like two ends of a spectrum. But, you know, she also had no choice. She was going into an institution that was entirely male. And when I say that, I mean Congress, but I also mean many other places where she was walking into. And being polite and pretty and nice about it was not going to be effective. So she had very little choice in that respect.
One thing I didn't know about Bella until I saw your movie was that she was the one who introduced legislation to allow women to apply for their own credit cards. Isn't that amazing?
Frankly, it's shocking to me. I mean, maybe I'm naive to think that women should have had at least that right in the 70s. But yeah, that's one of Bella's big legislative successes, was getting women the ability to sign up for credit cards, loans, other, you know, bank accounts without having to have a husband or a father's signature or endorsement or backing. And yeah, so she was very effective in that way.
Another thing about Bella that I learned from your movie is that she made a huge contribution to the development of the feminist movement globally, not just in America. She was very involved at the United Nations. I'm really glad you made people aware of that.
Yeah, after, you know, three failed elections, which was, I'm sure, devastating to her, she sort of shifted her vision away from running for office in New York politics and developed her own NGO, her own nonprofit organization, and obviously wanted to keep helping women. And she saw the UN as a place that was, like Congress, still male-dominated, and not really having women's voices be part of the conversation. And she saw it even worse for women in other countries and developing nations, where women are the farmers, the breadwinners, the people who these PACs and these bills in the UN would impact the most. And she wanted to help represent them and get their voices into these agreements.
Jeff, I have to say that for me, one of the real stars of the film, albeit in a very understated way, was Bella Abzug's husband, Martin. He was, by all accounts, a wonderful, kind, generous man, and he was her greatest supporter, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. If you have an eagle eye, you can see him in the background of all those press conferences, all those concession speeches, all those victories. He was there by her side, and he seemed like a really remarkable man, ahead of his time as well, funny as well. And, you know, just as a filmmaker, it was a challenge to get him into the film a lot, because it's really a story about Bella. There wasn't a ton of material about him, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, he was represented and shown, and I tried to find different ways to get him in.
Oh, you did it very well, because I think men watching this film learn a lesson about how to be a supportive husband. You know, if you have a wife who is strong and an advocate and assertive and wants to be in the public eye, there's a role. We know what the role is for women who have stood beside or behind their powerful husbands, but it's much less known about men. And I thought you really did convey the strength, the support, the degree to which she leaned on him. I thought you did it very, very well.
Good. Thank you.
Now, one of the most controversial aspects of the movie, which you've already touched on in this interview, is the whole issue of whether Bella bit off more than she could chew by leaving Congress and deciding to run for the Senate, which effectively ended her career as an elected official. It's clear that you very intentionally presented both sides of the argument, and you left it up to the viewer to make up their own minds. But Jeff, do you have a personal opinion about whether Bella did the right thing?
Without knowing Bella's absolute goal, it's sort of impossible to say, because on the one hand, she had the personal goal of becoming a U.S. senator and then being effective in that house. But on the other hand, she also had the goal of just being the first woman to run for that office and then just carving away at that path so that other women could do it. And I don't know if she, I mean, obviously she wanted to win and obviously she wanted to be in that role. I mean, she would be much more effective. But did she know in the back of her head that even if she didn't win, she would have at least started to blaze the trail and that that would be effective in itself? That's the big question. And, you know, she could have stayed in Congress, as I said, for decades afterwards. Is that really the best thing for her or for the country? Like, people do sit in these seats an awfully long time, and you do wonder if they're still being effective. So, yeah.
Well, that's a very interesting point. The whole issue of stagnation and the need to reinvent yourself and to keep evolving. Yeah, I think that's a fascinating part of the movie. And there was this underlying theme in the movie that I found equally fascinating, and it's this. It's the whole question of how an activist should craft his or her public image in order to convey sincere passion for the cause, but at the same time not appear too abrasive or extreme, which might turn off the voters. Was there a message you were trying to give the audience about that?
Not intentionally, no. I'm fascinated that you saw that. I was merely just presenting Bella in the material that I had available to me and sort of just framing the facts around it. And I think that just potentially just comes across as what it was. There was a very limited amount of material to work with as well. So I didn't have a ton of options of like, oh, I could use this press conference or this one. It was like, this is the one I have, so I better use what I can from it. So yeah, what you saw is basically the material that was available.
Well, I think that anyone who's really carefully analyzing what people are saying and how those three elections after leaving Congress unfolded, I picked up on that theme and I thought it was very balanced, because she did lose three elections, and it's obvious that the viewer is going to wonder why. And in the comments that people made about why she didn't win, there's this, as I say, this underlying theme of, you know, how do you make yourself likable but still not lose sight of the issues that are important to you? And I think this film, well, like I said, I think it's a masterclass in all of that. And when I was watching the movie, Jeff, I kept wondering to myself, are there any politicians today, male or female, who have the same passion for civil rights and social justice that Bella had? What do you think?
I mean, I do think that Nancy Pelosi is a very strong leader in a lot of the ideals that Bella had, specifically around gender equality in our institutions. I'd also say that Maxine Waters embodies a lot of the spirit of truth-telling and holding people accountable and shouting people down when necessary, when they're being untruthful or wrong or mean. I was very grateful to have both of those women in the film. And I think they were mentored by Bella in many ways. And sort of they are the next generation who are following in her footsteps and did succeed because of Bella and Shirley Chisholm and the other women who you know, started blazing the trail in the 70s.
I want to tell our viewers that you can learn more about Jeff Lieberman and the new film Bella by going to the website bella1970.com. Now, Jeff, I know the film is having big screenings coming up in New York on August 18th and Los Angeles on August 25th. When will the movie be available to the general public?
So we're opening in theaters in New York and LA, as you mentioned, and we're starting to get some other art house cinemas throughout the country coming on board as well. So we're going to be opening in other cities periodically throughout August, September, and through the fall. And we're also coming to a lot of festivals throughout the country too. But our big, big premiere is going to be on September 8th on PBS American Masters. And that's very exciting for us as well, that we're going to have this broadcast premiere. And if you don't, I strongly recommend seeing it in the theater. I had the very first experience of seeing it in the theater this past weekend at an advanced screening we did in San Francisco at the Castro Theater, which was, you know, symbolic in so many ways. And that audience applauded Bella throughout the film. It was honestly one of the most eye-opening and bizarre and amazingly heartwarming experiences I've ever had. Like, they just laughed and applauded and hissed her opponents. And, you know, I was sort of sitting there ready to clap too, because I was like, we have to obviously clap at every accomplishment that she has, because that's sort of like what we're doing here. So seeing in the theater is really an amazing experience, I think. And then we hope to be in streaming come November, December, Christmas time. We're still figuring out those plans, but that's coming together.
Well, you must feel so gratified and validated in making this film and seeing the reaction. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I want to thank you so much for making this incredible movie, Jeff. I wish you the best of luck with the film. I think you're going to get a lot of awards, which will be very, very well deserved. Thank you so much for taking the time to appear on our show.
Oh, thanks, Harvey. Thank you for the great questions.
Our guest has been Jeff Lieberman, whose latest film entitled Bella, about one of the greatest women in American politics, Bella Abzug, is coming to a theater or a streaming platform near you in the very near future. And don't forget to see it on PBS September the 8th on American Masters. My name is Harvey Brownstone. Thank you to my producer, Steve Silver, my director of programming, Deborah Batsafin, my production assistant, Rose Apuzzo, my PR director, Laurie Towers, and my entire team at the XPTV One Network in the UK. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all the great interviews on the Harvey Brownstone Interviews YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified when new videos are posted.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.